So the framework lays out what is FAO's contribution to the global agenda on social protection? How do we see us as contributing to making a stronger economic case for governments to scale up national programs? Pulling together that it's, as I said, contributing to social impacts such as education and health, but also to the economic potential of a local economy. The role the social protection has in bringing together poverty reduction and food insecurity, as well as the role the social protection can play in enhancing resilient livelihoods, so in context of fragility and humanitarian response.
So are we talking about mainly protecting farmers and their families? Is that what this is about?
We are, exactly. I think the overall actors working in social protections has focused on key vulnerable groups such as women, youth, children. In FAO, we think that, of course, those are key groups, but also that sometimes not to forget the importance of the specific vulnerabilities of family farmers and small-scale agriculture farmers that are producing most of the food in many of these countries and in many cases do not have access to basic benefits such as health insurance or pension or agriculture-type insurance. So it's our call to have an adequate expansion of social protection also to farmers.
So what particular vulnerabilities do people face in the countryside?
There's exposure to price volatility, there's exposure to limited access to social services as well as to financial services such as credit and insurance. And as I said, the limit, because they're not part of a formal sector and part of the labor legislation, even though there may be a universal health insurance program in a country, they're not necessarily able to access, even if they have the capacity to contribute. So we're not talking only about vulnerabilities for the poorest of the poor, which are, of course, the key and the starting point, but also even for those that are able to produce, they are not able to manage risk properly. They're producing, they're workers, they're also having a contribution in terms of production, but they're not protected effectively.
So how can you kind of turn these good intentions and the responses of member states into something practical that will really enhance protection?
So maybe some examples of what we were doing. Now, when we're thinking about how to, you know, enhance the economic potential. Very specific things is when you have a social protection program that is targeting a group of beneficiaries in addition to the cash, why don't we complement that cash with things like distribution of feeds or entrepreneurial training or agriculture training to maximize that investment, for instance. Or if we have a school feeding program which is already serving education, nutrition and social protection function, can we enhance the capacity of local producers for them be the ones to supply, you know, the fruits and vegetables to that school, focusing on productive but also nutrition sensitive agriculture programs. So I think it's a call for having a much more holistic and comprehensive approach around how do we see poverty reduction, which is not only a social dimension but needs to bring into account what the agriculture sector think, what the trade sector think, which sometimes we're not thinking about it. And in the discussion within the Commission of Social Development that we were discussing with the ESA and other partners, that was one of my main pleas. And when we're talking about coordination and bringing sector together, we not only think about health, education and nutrition, but also food security, agriculture sectors, which are key in terms of poverty reduction.
Does it inevitably mean persuading governments to spend a bit more money? Is that what it boils down to?
The economic case that we're trying to build is precisely on that, to make social protection not a cost, but an investment, that you're investing in
human
capital.
It's worth your while.
Yes, that it's worthwhile, that it's investing in human capital, in labor employability, in making the poorest of the poor very strong economic contributors to the country. No, I think there's a lot of examples of low developing countries where have been able to recognize this potential and invest their own resources in expanding national programs, the Kenyas, Lesotho, Zambia, Tanzania. So we're not talking only about rich countries' programs. This is real in countries that are seen as least developed or developing countries. So yes, it's about spending more and better.